Welcome to Cacao with Pranamore, episode number 7. We're so happy to have you here.
Welcome. Yeah, this is exciting. This is going to be part 2 of our topic around abundance. And I like to start with a story, because this morning something very magical happened. So just to give you some context, so every morning I do some stretches in bed just right after waking up. And then I do some prayers, you know, while I'm doing the stretches. It's like you know, like yin yoga, stretchy stuff. I'm doing some prayers in the quiet and, you know, just like gratitude and calling in some things, giving thanks to God, these kind of things. And so today I added something that I never did before. And I simply said something like, or I thought something like, thank you for all the surprises, for all the nice surprises that are coming into my day today. And that's it. You know, that's what I did. And I think it's really nice. It just came to me this morning. And then, so I went downstairs and then Fern told me, hey, Maxime, come outside. There's something here. Come have a look. And I was like, what's going on? So I went to see a look out of the window and then I went out of the door. And then there was this little cute puppy dog, a stray dog that came to us. And for some people it might be pretty normal to have stray dogs or dogs around the houses that are coming from somewhere. And we do have some stray dogs here in Costa Rica, not as many in some other as in some other countries or places, but our house is so remote, and I never ever so far, not a single time, did I see another dog here. Our neighbor has a dog. Our only neighbor has a dog. And that's it. It's super remote. I didn't even see like a stray dog on the main road. And that leads to our small road. So it's just super rare. And so this dog showed up here out of nowhere. And I talked to our neighbor. And she said she didn't see the dog passing. And her dog also didn't see it. So the dog must have really gone through the jungle. Like really wild nature. And it came here this morning. And to give you some more context. So that ever since I moved to Costa Rica, and maybe especially since I moved here and got together with Fern, every time when I saw a dog somewhere, like a stray dog somewhere, I thought, oh, maybe someday I will also get a dog again here in Costa Rica, because I grew up with a dog over like 15 years or so, like 14 years we had a dog in my family. And so I thought, yeah, maybe, you know, someday I might have a dog here, and it would probably be adopting a stray dog. And then I had a talk with Fern about it. When did we talk about it? Like
a couple
days ago?
Yeah, maybe like a week ago or something.
Yeah, so
very
so,
recently.
So we had a talk about it very recently, and I told her, you know what? Okay, let's give it 1 month to think about it.
Yes, and let's give everyone context on why 1 month.
Yeah, because so my human design is reflector. So I don't. For those of you who don't know human design, reflector is, they say it's one of the rarest types, and it has many different unique traits and weirdnesses, so to speak, maybe. And one thing is that they say as a guideline for reflectors is to, for any big like major decisions, big decisions, life changes, to that I'm supposed to give myself like about a month, because that's one moon cycle. So they say reflectors are really working with moon cycles. Moon cycles about a month. So before I do any big decision, I should give myself a month, which in the past for a couple of different decisions I didn't do. But so I told Fern, okay, you know, let's give it a month. And then we decide if we find us a dog. So this morning I wake up and I pray for unexpected nice surprises. And I walk out of the door. First thing I see is this little cute dog. And we thought about it. And then I said, yeah, you know what? It's pretty obvious. If a dog comes to us, and it's like, I never saw a dog ever. Like, have you? No, right?
No, and it comes so skinny and so hungry and friendly, and obviously trekked through. You could tell by its skin that it's been trekking through the jungle for quite some time, doesn't have an owner, really. And also very gracious, kind, like, very happy dog to be like, oh, please just, give me some water.
Yeah, so it was a super, super respectful, like super gentle and you know, happy to see us. And yeah, so we had some food to give him, And he was very happy about that. And we had a talk and we said, you know what, if it's so obvious, let's just adopt the dog and give it a home. And, you know, then we organized everything, having it checked by a vet. And you went out today and bought some cat food. And so I wanted to use this also.
We have cat food.
Okay, yeah, we have cat food, right. But yeah, so that was a beautiful blessing today, like a super nice surprise. And it's a perfect introduction for this topic about abundance, because for two things, we can also talk about our cats. So this is also a podcast for animal lovers. It's going to be a great story too about the cats. But so for the dog, so right now, so we just finished building, and we're still in a process partly because we have some projects on the land. We are building our outdoor kitchen, and we really have a set budget for these things, and we actually already went over even, so we have to figure out how we do it and that we keep kind of on track. And so we don't really have any extra budget enough for anything really, so we actually already started selling some other things that we don't need, some additional, you know, furniture and building material that we had as a surplus to finance some of the new buildings and new things to buy. So us being in that situation right now, we spend a lot of time and energy into building and into managing everything, into moving in, and we didn't do so much retreats lately and work because we focus so much on this new chapter in our lives. And so then the dog coming to us, which obviously straight away will cost money. You know, it costs money going to the vet, having him check, buying him the things he needs, and then of course in the long run, you know, caring for it, buying some more things, buying food regularly, just like it's extra expenses, right? So of course, and we talked about it, and you asked me this morning, you thought about, oh, you know, if we adopt this dog, right now we really allocated our budget to other things. So straight away, a couple of vet visits and things you might need to help him his health. It's money, you know, and you went out today and bought a couple of things.
Already spent $140 today out of budget, you know, and what did I ask you this morning?
Yeah, so you came to me and you said something like, so, you know, what do you think about the dog? And I know it costs money that we didn't plan in. But and then my answer was very clear, because I also thought about it, of course. And I said, you know, I don't worry about it at all. Like, I think it's going to be fine because it's not coming from us anyway. That's an abundance that we are just the vessel. We are just the vessel to help this dog and give him his kind of like life back and bring him to health. And we are just a vessel. It's kind of like done through us. So I said, this is totally fine. Like, if we decide to give this dog a home and care for it, the universe will provide the abundance that we need for it.
Yes. And that's, I love that answer so much. It gave me such trust that this is the right decision. It's like, how could you not, you know, when you see this dog and how skinny and hungry and just full of love in his eyes, beautiful eyes. And the same similar thing happened to the cat that came to us
that was funny.
That we named Lakshmi, because...
You want to give some context what Lakshmi means?
I can give context to Lakshmi. First though, the name of our dog. What's the name of our dog?
Oh, that was cool. So we decided to adopt the dog, and as soon as we did it, I said, yeah, we got to find a name now. And then I said, what about Cacao? Because so the dog has it's funny, you told me the first thing you told me before I saw the dog is like, it looks like a cow, it's colored like a cow. So
like a cow.
So because it has like brown what do you call it, spots
like not some spots, white. But it's like brown splotches, white. Like a cow, like a
yeah. Yeah. It's like circular shape, brown spots and white spots. So which is, you know, brown like a cow and white like, you know, like the coconut milk or something.
Yeah.
or the inside of the cacao pots that are actually white, the white fruit flesh. So we said, yeah, Cacao, it's the name. So our three cats are called Coco, Mango, Lakshmi. And now we have Cacao.
So funny.
It's a cool theme.
It's a great little family. And so the cats are pretty much gifts from God as well, because Lakshmi came to us jumping at our door. And I brilliantly said, we need to feed her. She's so cute.
Well, that's not exactly true. You saw her first, you, without telling me, gave her food.
Yes.
Started to give her. And then you went away for a trip, and I was at home, and I told you, hey, there's this cat coming all the time and scratching at the door very persistently. What is going on? And then I got to know that you already gave her food.
Yes.
So that was kind of like too late to decide to keep her or not.
And we didn't know at that moment that she was a kitten. She was small and very skinny and very needing food.
And very cute.
Very cute. And we didn't know at that time that she was actually pregnant. And we didn't know that she had 6 kittens inside.
Yeah. So we went to the I went to the doctor when you were still gone, have a check. Doctor said, wow, she is actually pregnant. And I couldn't believe it because she was maybe like 8 months old.
7, I think.
Super young.
So young.
And
so
then,
little.
So that was the first part of the story. And then, okay, the second part is 6 kittens is super rare. So she got 6 baby cats. And that's a lot for cats generally. And especially if it's such a young cat and it's the first pregnancy and it's such a small cat. And it was amazing because they all were healthy and there were 4 white cats, which is super rare, and 1 orange cat. So we kept 1 orange cat and 1 white cat. And the white cat we kept actually can hear and see, which is even more rare. So most of 80% of white cats, they cannot hear and they can see, they cannot hear.
Yes.
Yeah, that way around.
Yeah, they can see.
So super rare. And so that's why we said, okay, we call her Lakshmi. And you want to explain why?
Lakshmi. So first of all, I said, I want to name her something with a, you know, Sanskrit. Since we chant mantras, we sing kirtan, I wanted to give her a name that went along with our theme of singing mantra. Our car is Ganesha, the remover of obstacles. And I was like, well, Shiva doesn't work. Shakti, okay, that's kind of boring. And the two of us decided Lakshmi right away. It was obvious. So also, Lakshmi, for anyone who's not familiar with Sanskrit, means abundance. It means the energy of abundance, the goddess of abundance. And how fitting for this cat that manifests a beautiful home by jumping at the window and being so persistent in what she really desires, and then receiving this beautiful, loving home that ends up being the birthplace for her 6 kittens.
6, yeah. So that's we thought, yeah, abundance is such a brilliant name for it, fitting to the story. So now we have 3 cats and 1 dog, and they started to getting to know each other a little bit with curiosity and cautiousness, and I think they get along well. The dog really doesn't care so much, but the cats are kind of like, oh, what's this being? So yeah, that taken as a beautiful introduction to this podcast, because again, the theme is, it's part 2 around the theme of abundance and wealth and manifestation and blessings, these kind of things. And I think another good transition for me would be to talk about one thing that changed when I moved to Costa Rica. It's kind of connected to that. It's like, so with the dog, for example, we just said, okay, you know, we trust that we will have everything we need to care for this being, you know, and you spend money today that we plan that you spend on other things, and or you spend another thing for yourself. And so the theme of trusting that everything for us is always going to be provided. And sometimes that is challenging because I feel it's like step by step. It's like you have the uncertainty and you cannot see it until it happens. So, you know, this week I cannot see that next week the next thing I'm going to need is going to be provided, because for whatever reason I get money from somewhere, I have some work from somewhere, or something happens. You know, many different ways that abundance can flow to us. So that's the kind of the challenge of like the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen next week, next month, next rent, whatever it is, next car repair, whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, and the car
repairs.
We actually
had that too.
And the car repairs keep coming, you know? And,
yeah.
And that's one of those things. It's not one of those certain monthly expenses that come in. So how do we lean more into, how have we leaned more into that trust?
Yeah, good question. And so if we connect back to the first part of this podcast theme from last week, so we described a little bit about each of our life changes and transitions, and not exactly sure where we left off with that, but I think I described about my life in Germany. So before I moved to Costa Rica, I was in Germany, in Berlin, and I had a business there. I had a physical business location with 4 employees, and I had my regular income, and I was pretty structured. I actually did this mentorship program over 3 years with some really amazing mentors around money and finances, both on a very like practical level and analytical, classical level, also on in some spiritual ways, but mainly really grounded. And I was really doing my homework, so to speak. I was very structured. I had my regular expenses, you know, I had my life expenses and my business expenses and my income. So it was pretty structured. And I tried to kind of follow the you know, 5 account models where you allocate some percentages of your income to the different things like, you know, life expenses and, you know, cushion and investment and education, like these kind of things and fun. So I was really structured, you know, and following the rules, so to speak, you know. And then when I moved to Costa Rica, due to different circumstances, I pretty fast stopped with that and pretty much threw about all the structuredness and started to really lean more into that trust, as you just said. And I stopped allocating some money to the different things, and I became more in like a free flow with like expenses and some, because also we, you know, at that time didn't have a like a long-term rental, so we moved around a lot at that time with my ex-partner. And so some month I would spend a lot of money on rent, you know, and it's okay, I trust it's gonna be fine, you know, right now that makes sense, it's gonna be okay. And this is like a Costa Rica theme pretty much until now, that I kept doing it this way, you know, transitioning out of business in Germany, like eventually like transitioning my business to a new owner, diving into new kind of work, quote unquote work here, meeting you eventually, we together starting to do different things together that make money and some more, some less, and we really like find out what we are passionate about. So a lot of transition, which means not a stable income. The income varied all the time, especially after I gave my business away. And the expenses too, they were also not stable because moving around and having different expenses, getting used to a new country, a new culture. So I really started to really follow this trust. And the amazing thing is that it has worked out ever since then. Like for some reason, it always worked out. And then I talked with my money mentors about it because they also... I continued the course when I moved here, and I told them, yeah, you know, I'm not really following any of the rules anymore, pretty much. I kind of lost the structure. Though the number one important experience for me right now is to feel and to experience that it's actually working. You know, I have everything I need, like all the time. It is provided. It is working. So for me to experience that was so powerful, and to trust and being on a journey.
That's so refreshing to hear too, because I resonate with that so much, because living in Costa Rica for 7 years.
Oh, I have an idea. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, no, go
How
for
about
it.
You tell the story? I think you didn't do it so far. Tell
Not
the
yet.
Story
Not yet.
Of how you came to Costa Rica, like maybe short at the beginning, but then that your first couple of weeks here,
yes.
How you lived and okay. How the situation was, and also for you financially and all that.
Okay.
That's amazing.
So I came to Costa Rica on a house swap. I swapped a really beautiful place in LA, right off Abbot Kinney, if anyone's familiar with Venice. So it's a really cute bungalow. I swapped that for a couple gave me their house in Nosara, Costa Rica, and I knew nothing about Costa Rica. I just landed there and had no intention of moving from LA, though what I experienced in that house for a month by myself was amazing. I fell in love with myself and really started to love the life of the jungle versus the, you know, the life of LA. So then I went back to LA, sold my car. Well, I sold my car kind of from Costa Rica, but I subletted my place, sold my car, got rid of my stuff, put things in storage, donated. Then I came back to Costa Rica. Okay, so when I come back to Costa Rica, I start staying in a hostel for the first week. It was terrible. It was really, really loud and parties, and it just wasn't the good environment. So I didn't have a place to live after that week in the hostel. So I went to a construction site where my friend gave me free housing because he was building a house. And he said, hey, I'm not really going to be living in here yet. So there's bedrooms. You can live in this construction site. And there's workers that come every morning at 5:30. Now I understand what that's like again. But I was living on a bare mattress. I just had my sarong. So I had $200 in my bank account at that moment. So
I think you actually sold your car much later.
Sold my car much later.
So you gotta make the story right here, because otherwise it doesn't make sense.
So at that moment, when I had gotten back to Costa Rica, I had just decided I was going to stay. I was going to stay longer. I didn't want to go back to LA. I ditched my return ticket. So then I started to work on like subletting, selling my car. But at that point, I still had my expenses in LA. I still had my rent. I still had business expenses going on. And when I decided to live and stay in Costa Rica, it was pretty much a leap of faith in trusting the universe, which I had done before when I moved from New York to LA, but not in this extent.
Yeah, as a summary, so you had your whole old life in LA, at that time the current life, you had your whole life, you had all your expenses, and you didn't plan to stay in Costa Rica, so you didn't even plan to be in Costa Rica at that time before, so you said you ditched your return ticket, which means you also didn't plan to have some person renting your house or renting your car.
So the thing is with synchronicity and trust is that there was a girl subletting my place for the couple weeks that I was going to Costa Rica. Before I ditched my return ticket, I had a subletter for that period of time. And then when I decided not to go back, I asked her, will you continue to stay?
I mean, I just wanted to frame the moment.
So
it actually makes sense. So the moment was like that. You had all these expenses and you had to pay them, obviously, but you didn't have your work because you were not in LA previously. The only work you did mainly, it was like in LA, a lot of clients you had there and work there. So no income from that, all the expenses you previously had. And then you were in this other country, suddenly deciding you want to stay there. And then what? So that's the situation.
And then
Then you started living at a construction site of a friend, because obviously you save money. This would kind of be the story I would tell. You know, so that's
the more logical, linear mind of getting to the point. So the getting to the point of it was that I hitchhiked to the beach every morning with my surfboard, and thankfully his house was on a road where all the moms would bring their kids to school at a certain time in the morning, moms or dads. And I would strategically plan my hitchhike when the parents were driving back out from the school towards the beach again, where they lived.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I would bring my surfboard and hopefully get somebody with a truck or an SUV. And I got rides to this. I was very ballsy, you know, very fearless, that I would hop on the back of random guys' motos that I'd meet in town and say, hey, can you drive me back to this random road at night? Like if I spent the whole day out. And I was very trusting of the universe, which is such a beautiful testament to, number one, the safety I felt inside myself to do that, and the trust in God, source, spirit to keep me safe, because I just knew I was meant to be in Costa Rica and I was going to make it work. And the beautiful thing is that it came together very quickly. Soon after I made that declaration, I found a beautiful, once I had a subletter in California before my lease ended, I was so lucky that I had her to pay that rent, that I was able to use the money that I would have used for that rent to rent a beautiful place in Nosara that was also brand new. And I started having retreats out of my home and renting my second room for retreats, for thyroid yoga trainings, for Reiki trainings, for people just coming through town, and I would do wellness concierge for them and book their wellness services. So very quickly, I generated abundance. I have that mindset. I knew I was meant to be there to make it work. I was teaching yoga classes at one of the most prestigious, beautiful yoga retreat centers, and that job fell into my lap because the first day I went to class there, I made friends with the owner, and it was just the trust, the synchronicity, and the confidence to make it work, to say, I'm meant to be here, I'm going to meet the right people. And there was no other option. I wasn't going back to LA.
So you said you had the confidence that you were getting the abundance, and then you said you are good. From your experience, you know that you are good at doing these things. Like, can you describe, or maybe the question would be, How did you learn that? Did you always have that? How did you get that trust of, okay, yeah, I can do it. I know I'm here. It's all new, but I find my way. I'm going to get opportunities and I find ways to also here make my living.
I think it's a muscle that I needed to flex. You know, when I left my corporate job on Wall Street and made that leap into being a wellness entrepreneur in New York City, that took me a longer time to flex that muscle of faith. It took me longer to leave that corporate job and start my new life. And then once I did that, I got confidence and faith that I could start fresh and start over. And then when I moved from New York to LA, that was a very easy leap of faith for me. It was almost an effortless move. And I quickly fell into the right scene of the wellness world where it was just, it was all synchronistic and it all lined up.
So one could say that it's basically because you did it before. It was exactly. Easy for you from experience.
Because yeah, I reprogrammed my mind. Mm. I didn't know that I was reprogramming it, though. The first leap of faith took more time. And then it became like a natural thing of like, oh yeah, you could do this. You could change.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of similar for me because, so as I shared in the last episode, I never really worked for someone except for my apprenticeship, and then I became a freelancer with like 20, 21. So since then I never had a employee job somewhere. And I think it's similar for me. If you have such a long history of always finding your ways and finding it out somehow, and you go through all the ups and downs, and it's normal, right? So when you build up something for yourself, and when you don't come from like a super rich background and have a lot of money in a bank account, then you naturally go through these ups and downs, and you have some moments where you're really looking for that next client to pay your rent or something, you know, pay your expenses. Or you go through moments where you have, you know, a lot of money and it's super easy and relaxed, and then it's like, you know, changes again. So I can agree, like I can relate to you. I mean, that it definitely helped me to experience these ups and downs over years and years to be more comfortable having them.
Absolutely. You know what? I really believe that everyone can make those transitions, and regardless of their background, of where their money, you know, whether they've come from money or whether money has been, you know, more of a difficult thing. If we come back to that blank canvas concept, what if your past with money hadn't existed? Could you take that leap of faith and start fresh?
I would actually say it's a strength when you come from a background with not so much money, and because when you come from a background with a lot of money and then suddenly it's taken away, you don't have it anymore, I think you don't really know what to do with it, and it's really new for you and probably very challenging. But when you come from a background with, or situations, when you made it through situations with kind of like less money or like more the need to be resourceful, I think you are, first of all, much more comfortable and confident to live in these situations and circumstances because it's more normal to you. And you also know when you then have a lot of money in your life, you know that you're going to be fine either way. Like, even when something happens, you're still going to be fine because A, you are used to that with less money, and B, you made it from low money to much money. So, you know, you did it, and you know, you can, even if you don't have it, you're going to be fine.
And I think that brings us back to the situation today with buying the, you know, the food and the medical for our new dog, and having that, okay, our bank account might be a little stretched right now, and yet this is what we're meant to do. This is what Source Spirit is putting right in front of us as a opportunity to give to another being before giving to ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that's a big difference for me. Again, one thing is, as in the past, when I started my Costa Rica journey, one thing is to spend money for myself and just, you know, or pay that rent that's so much more high than what I used to, but it's just necessary right now, or, you know, buy the car or do whatever, you know. And to me, it's a totally different thing to care about a being, like a dog, for example, it's not money I spend for myself. I mean, I enjoy having company of the dog or the cats, but essentially it's more, okay, I'm caring for them. And to me, that's totally different from a spiritual level of being like, yeah, the universe is going to provide for them through me, you know?
I love that. I've never thought about it that way until you brought that up.
Yeah.
And, I love that.
And it's actually similar, talking about beings, it's similar. So when I moved to Costa Rica with my ex-partner, we also had, we have a beautiful daughter together, and I was born in Costa Rica. So that was part of the whole life transition and kind of uncertainty. And so that is two people moving to a new country, first on a trial basis, then finding out, okay, yeah, we actually want to be here. And then also becoming parents and having another child to care for, which is another level compared to a cat or a dog. It's a totally different level. And the same there when, I don't know, like I think, yeah, when we made the decision back then, I probably financially was in the situation, like I said, structured, stable, all that to do it. But then when we made the move and made different other decisions, they were probably not, by far not the most like conservative or, you know, grounded decisions in that sense, or classic decisions, what do you say, or like recommended decisions, so to speak. And then it moved again around that question of, yeah, can I do this right now? Can we do this? Can we make this decision? And I was very confident because same there, the same concept. I knew or I trusted in the sense of, yeah, I decided to bring that being into life together and, you know, provide for it and nurture it and be there. And then I trust that the universe gives me the abundance that I need always to care for it, to care for her in that sense. And that was a beautiful way for me to be parent, you know. It's a beautiful way of being a caretaker of animals, cats and dogs, and also being a parent.
That's amazing. And then that still, you know, blows my mind, of that level of trust and faith, especially when, you know, bringing children into this world. I think that it's one of the things that limits many people from actually becoming parents is the financial fears or stresses, especially, you know, what they grew up with or had or didn't have. So
totally.
Yeah, I really praise you for overcoming that, because also with your background too, of where you came from as a mm-hmm. as a child with your mom too, it's really beautiful to see how you could it heals generational programming.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because so my mom essentially raised me, my brother, alone, and I'm really good with my dad now, and he also was part of that in that sense. Though, yeah, she raised me and my brother alone, and she had to work at the same time to earn money and also take care of us. So, yeah, I mean, I get that journey, and I think that was also interesting for me to experience that and to see that, you know, it was possible, although sometimes challenging. But yeah, I mean, I think I just took the trust somewhere, and I made the decision, and I knew, okay, if I make the decision to become parent, and if I make the decision to do the life change at the same time or similar time, then I'm just going to trust, and I have to trust, and I always have to trust. That's just what it takes. I knew there are going to be challenges, and I knew the only way to do it is to trust. And there's this really fascinating thing about it. I think it's not only about parenting and making the decision to become a father or mom, but also about other things. It's all the things where you, on a paper, like on a analytical thinking level, you're not ready for. You're not, you know, skilled enough. You're not experienced enough. You're not financially well set up. And all these things, you know, where it's like just out of reach, but just out of reach. You know, maybe next year, maybe in a couple of months. You know, maybe you start your business in a couple of months. Maybe you become parents next year. Like these kind of things, you know. Maybe you move to the other country in 1 or 2 years. So we're sometimes just taking a jump, and then you will find the ways. You make the decision, and as soon as you make it, and as soon as you commit to it, sometimes things happen. magical things. You meet people, you get opportunities, things open up for you, and then you see these things happening. And it, sometimes it really just, all that it takes is commitment and a decision. And then you're trusting in the magic. Did you have experience like that?
Yes, and I just wanted to say that it's all around keeping the belief. I think that the moment that the belief wavers and the optimism wavers, then it is that law of attraction, is that when we have full faith and trust, we open ourselves up to seeing the synchronicities and having those relationships that are meant to come in to support the dream or the vision or the child or any of those things, you know. The people that are meant to come into our lives can only come in when we have the faith that they can come in to support the being or the project. If we lock ourselves into the belief that that it's not possible, that, you know, if you have a retreat, for example, a group retreat, and you've invested money in something, and then you have the belief, oh my gosh, it's going to be so hard, where are these people going to find me, this and that, then they're not going to find you, because they're going to feel that energy of, oh my gosh, I'm not competent enough to hold that space. Why would they spend that money on me? However, if you have that full faith and trust in yourself, in the opportunities, oh, this is going to be an epic retreat, this is going to be an epic opportunity, those people feel that energy, and it creates a collective consciousness, collective field, that is going to be the place to be. A festival, that kind of energy is the reason why sometimes festivals are so powerfully, like a conscious collective field of people, is because the energy that's put into this is going to be a hit. This is going to be a place where people come and weave together and create magic. And so what if we lived our lives like that?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Totally agree with that. And so two things that just came to my mind. The first one is just going back to the topic of being parents. So it's just beautiful once you make the decision. It's just beautiful to see that, you know, it just works. And once you prioritize something and believe in it, it's like the last episode I shared about one of the strategies from my money mentors, where it's about a money magnet, where you put aside a certain amount of money from the money you spent, and where I said, yeah, I started doing that and I didn't miss the money, you know. And some people say, well, but, you know, there's a lot of money less each month suddenly because you just put it away and don't touch it again. I didn't miss it. I started doing it. I committed to do it and believing in it, to just like having some jars of money and small coins and notes and stuff, and don't spend it anymore. And I didn't miss the money. And similar with now contributing to the caretaking of my daughter and the money that's needed for it. Like every month I pay money for it. So does the mom. So we pay for her living together. And that's the first thing I do every month. Like, that's the money. Okay, high priority, number one. Okay, yeah, I mean, previously we had our own rent to pay and, of course, food. Now we don't have rent anymore. But so that was the number one. And, you know, if any other person wants money from me, any payments I had to do, any old tax payments, any paying off things, like buying something new, any of these things were kind of like put out and, you know, dragged out or pushed out or whatever, or, you know, like lower priority. And it's just worked out, you know, first things first, the money for my daughter, and then everything else. And yeah, it's fine. It just, for some reason, always worked out over a couple of years already now.
And I've already been at awe at how fast that money comes in when it's needed by the first of the month. And it's really magnificent because it reprograms my mind, because I don't have another being besides our animals that rely on me, especially on a monthly basis. And, you know, even myself, I'm just at awe because I've got my bills and my taxes and things like that. And I'm like, where is the money going to come from? And it comes in. Mm-hmm. It always does.
Yeah, similar for you. Yeah, I remember many of these situations. And this all being said, doesn't mean that we just say, hey, just, you know, quit your job and jump into something and you will get the money somehow. I mean, you can do that if you want to, and it might also work, but it's not always the best decision. You know, for example, when I lived in London in the UK, and that's why I started my freelance journey. I think I said that in the last episode already. So I started my freelance journey and I wanted to stay in London. It's kind of like you wanted to stay in Costa Rica. I wanted to stay in London at the time. I only planned to be there for a 6-month internship, where all my costs were covered and my accommodation and all that. And then I noticed after a couple of months, okay, I want to stay there. And then I had to figure out what to do, how I can make money. And so I was in a situation that I still had my accommodation covered, my living expenses, and I also still had some money coming in on a month-by-month basis from a previous job that I did. It was just that they just didn't pay me all at once for different reasons. They just paid me over a couple months. So I had my really basic living costs covered. So I knew, okay, I have, let's say, like 2-3 months where I can just build up something and make it work. So that was a very comfortable scenario for me. It was a perfect blend of kind of like a little bit of pressure and also a little bit of comfort, because I knew, okay, I'm good now. I have the time. So I started putting up my website and I started, you know, going on to networking events, meeting people. I started doing some first projects as a graphic web designer, and I started some things for free to build my portfolio. I started to do some jobs for like low money just because I like the projects. And then I built it up. I was able to build it up. And by the time I had to fully earn my living and sustain myself, I was ready.
And that's so amazing, as you know, I love that part of your journey, is that you built up your confidence, you built up your portfolio, you built up your clients, and now here in Costa Rica, you have the connections to do that work again whenever you want to tap into that. And then you also have the retreat world and the music world now blossoming. So
yeah, and at that time, the cool thing for me was too, I knew, okay, I'm very young, I'm in a different country, I built up my own business, and I knew, okay, if it doesn't work, it's fine, because I can always buy a plane ticket and fly back home and then, you know, move in with my parents or find a job, do something. So I knew there's like a backup plan, which was also very comforting at that time.
I love that your backup plan was actually being okay with moving in with your parents, because, you know, so many people dread that, you know, they're like, oh, if I don't make it, I've got to move back in with mom and dad.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my favorite thing to do, of course, and I didn't expect it to happen. But, you know, knowing that there is a backup plan, that was very comforting for me. And yeah, what you just said about having the skills and then just jumping to now, like decade, more than a decade forwards, and jumping to now, and then you said, yeah, you can know it, that you can use the skills. That's actually really good reminder. I think it touches a little bit on the last episode when we talked about how to balance, you know, your quote unquote old life or current job or just like current way of making money versus your new passion and versus building up your new ventures and your new life, maybe, you know. And I'm in a situation right now where I said, okay, you know, with all the expenses we have here, and I got to look for some more ways to sustain myself and build up. You know, I also have some other things to take care of, you know, to pay off from previously that came up. So I just said, okay, I got to find ways again. And probably one of the best ways right now is to use my old skills, which is to do some more freelance work in the design world, like UI UX design, and which I'm highly skilled and there are a lot of opportunities. I stopped doing it pretty much and started to focus more on what we were doing, you know, retreats and music and my own music and recording, releasing music and jumping more into that world. And I just found out that it just takes time, you know. It just takes time, and it takes money also to invest in that. So we talked about it last time, right? So the sense of, hey, you can, it's fine, you can work on your passion and use something else to sustain it while you do it. So then it actually makes sense, so to speak.
Absolutely. I really agree with that too. And I've jumped back and forth as well into my real passion right now, which is guiding breathwork trainings and retreats and creating new programs online. And then at the same time, still going back to thyroid yoga, which is a passion that I created almost a decade ago, and still offering those classes online sometimes, still seeing clients, still offering that or selling those programs because it still makes a huge impact and still lights up my soul. So balancing between what I really want to create and do, and while I'm creating, still going into where else I can be of service from what I've done before, not completely, you know, brushing all that aside. So I think that's a big reminder for ourselves and for others that it's okay to, it's not like taking a step backward when you do the work that you were previously doing in order to make ends meet or to fund your next project or your next dream. It's as long as you're doing it the way you're doing it is important. You're doing it with integrity. You're not just doing it for the money, but you're putting your heart into it. You're doing the best, you know, the best that you can. You're, you know, making the right relationships and really taking care of your own energy as well, and having your, you know, having yourself and your needs met, taking your, like, your space, your free time, your boundaries, all that's also important.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing, one of the most important things is really to have a plan. If you have a strategy and if you have a goal in mind, like you know what you're working towards, and you know that you sustain yourself with, let's call it your old life, job, whatever it is, and you're working towards creating something new and you're supporting that and you have a clear goal and a clear strategy, that really helps, because then you know, okay, it's not like, I keep doing what I don't really want to do. I keep living here. I keep doing the same thing. I keep doing what I do, and I have a perspective and I have a goal, and I'm going to go somewhere with that. And eventually I'm going to transition. So that really helps. I think, yeah, it's time to wrap it up pretty much. Just at the end, I thought we could maybe share some of the top learnings we had or we made on our journeys. Let's say, what are the most powerful learnings or experience or skills that you learned all around jumping into that, you know, self-employed entrepreneurship, working with clients, abundance, these kind of things?
One of them that's very important is to clean up your mess. That's something that not a lot of people talk about. And one of the things that, you know, when I jumped from thing to thing, place to place, I sometimes left a mess behind me. Oh, yeah.
I'm laughing here. We have a story together where I helped you with that a little bit. Although I was very surprised that you said it first now.
Because we didn't touch upon it in this episode. And I think it's very important that, you know, you can jump around from career to project, but to clean up where you owe money, clear up the taxes, clear up before moving on to the next project, because that is going to linger. And I learned that the hard way, and Maxime got to see that side of me, and then I got to see that side of him, because I didn't know he also had taxes and things like that due as well. So we got to see it together, which was very, you know, it was a big challenge. And, you know, we both at the time when those things kept coming up, we didn't have the money at the time to pay off the taxes, to do all the cleanup. And thank goodness the two of us were compassionate towards each other and helped make
so
it work.
Funny. That's so funny. I used to say, so before I met you, I didn't have any debt except one like business loan, but that's, you know, I didn't have any debt. I always paid anything, taxes, all that stuff. I was always up to date, super structured, as I said, super organized. I didn't have any old things to clean up. I was super on top of things, like generally. And then I started helping you and I saw your stuff. And then I always joked that it kind of like, how do you say it in English? It kind of like jumped over to me.
Yeah.
It's like I took that from you.
All of a sudden,
like
you had payments.
Yeah, it's like when you meet people and then they have really good traits, and then you take good traits from them, which is great and inspirational, all that. But that, I always joke that I did the opposite, kind of like taking it on from you.
You're like, oh, I still have this tax payment. I need to pay that off eventually.
Yeah. So in all this life transition stuff, I stopped being on top of things so much. and planning so well, which led to some unforeseen things that I had to be cleaned up. And again, just as a reminder, just to give context again, and these were also beautiful examples, super powerful for miracles and magic, and I'm happy to share. So for example, for one or two times, I had to do pretty big payments. I mean, big in that sense of, you know, if it's like very urgent, immediate, unforeseen, like needing to pay $7,000 or in dollars, like $8,000 suddenly because they freeze your bank account, is a pretty big deal, right? Like for me at least. And I was able to do it because whenever these things happen, then we suddenly got some more retreat inquiries. And then you said, yeah, okay, you know, we can take the money now to pay the taxes. And then it was vice versa for you at some point where you had the situation and then we got some money and then we earned together. And then you said, yeah, you take it. So it's just a beautiful example to that if you trust and do it, you know, like you're dedicated to do and live in alignment with yourself and with your dreams and with the gifts you can share with the world, then it's gonna be fine. Somehow it's gonna work out. So that's just like a beautiful example.
Yeah, that's really where my heart and soul is led to sum it up for everyone is that clean up your old mess. Don't leave it lingering. Because if you want to attract more abundance, abundance is going to come in when you have that mindset of, okay, here I am open, ready to receive, and I've got a clean slate for that to come
in. Remember what I told you about that?
Remind me.
So I said, so see it as the abundance is there. It's a big, massive millionaire bank account where you can just take money. It's the universe yes. providing and giving to you all the opportunities, all the wealth you ever want. And they will not do it if they see, oh, she is completely messing around. She has all these kind of things. She has all the taxes. She is really not responsible with the money. Who knows what will happen if we give her a million now? It's probably be gone because of this and this and this, just to give an example, right? So I said, hey, the universe has to see that they can trust you giving you a lot of money because they know you do good things with it. They know you are on top of it.
Adopting dogs.
Yeah. They know you're going to do good things with it.
Going to adopt a dog, pay, you know, invest in crypto, invest in the future, plant some trees on our land.
Yeah, but that's for me, it was a beautiful motivation to just, show the universe from a spiritual point now, show the universe that, you know, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm on top of my things. I clean up the things. I take care of it. I take care of my abundance. I do some good things. I do some donations, all these kind of things. So they're like, okay, yeah, this guy is ready to receive the next big check.
I love that. I think that's a great place to wrap this up with that advice. And what about you, though? Did you have anything else to add? I shared mine, but...
Yeah, I think for me, probably the number one thing, and I saw that as a challenge for many people, is to value yourself. Especially when you start anything, any business, any freelancing, you offering your services. Just for me, it was a big challenge to value myself in the sense that, you know, whenever I was making proposals and, you know, thinking about my own hourly rate and, you know, how much to charge for the work, I came a long way, especially because I'm not used to. So as a child, in my growing up, I wasn't used to, you know, having a lot of money, spending a lot of money, big numbers. And so I had to learn and kind of like work my way up to be more comfortable, to even, you know, charge more numbers and really knowing my worth. And then through experiences over the years, seeing how great my services are, how good the quality is and how much the people actually get for it. So this whole thing of like, yeah, value yourself and really don't be so focused on you know, comparing what people take and charge and how much people earn as a job, but more be focused of what benefit you actually give the people through your offerings and really see the value in the benefits. And oftentimes it's really, if you want to attach a number to that, whatever that is, it's really open, you know, wide open. So it's really was me getting confident to see the value in myself and also communicate that to people. That was a really big and important step. And yeah, it definitely helps to also get used to bigger amounts. And one other side story to that is, so a couple of years later and being on this like entrepreneurship journey, I did a big event with a couple of friends in Berlin. So we organized a weekend conference with some of the biggest speakers at that time in Germany about all like personal development and growth and all these kind of things. And so one of our team members left, and then I got to take on the role of the finance, person in charge of finance. So I got to make all the payments and, you know, check the budget and all that. And we didn't really make so much money with that event at the end. It was a big risk. We have a lot of expenses, talking about a medium, like five-figure amount in total. And this was the first time for me to deal with such big amounts, you know, sending a bank transfer of like 10K to some company, someone, you know, receiving thousands of euros eventually, and also spending them again, because again, like we had so many expenses. So that experience also for me was really amazing, because I got to deal with all these bigger amounts. Like I never had so much money on my own bank account before. And this really made me more confident and familiar with big numbers, like bigger numbers. And, you know, sending 10K here, 5K there, you know, 7K there. Okay, cool. I got more confident with it. And that's incredible how that does to your brain. Like how it's like reprogramming you when it's like normal for you to receive 5K and to send 10K. And, you know, it's really cool. That was a powerful experience.
That I love that. I feel like that could be a great exercise in responsibility, and then also the mindset shift of, yeah, this is just this, you know, the same as 10 bucks, you know, it's like, it's just currency. It's just energy. You know, you're just moving energy from one account to the other, and you start to get super cozy with moving energy.
That's actually a good thing to wrap it up. My last input for this would be where I'm currently at with it. I'm working on, I'm integrating it, is really to see this all even more like a game. It's just a game. It's just numbers, you know. Someone came up with numbers at some point, and then we came up with the whole like financial system and all the papers with all the numbers on it. And it's just all made up, and we accept it. That's why it is working. At the same time, it's just a really big game, and it's just a lot of numbers and papers, and not even so much papers anymore. It's a lot of digital, things anyway. So I myself train myself more and more, and I integrate it more and more to just see this as, yeah, a big game, and become less attached to the actual numbers, how many zeros are behind the number. And I experience it right now to have the shift, and to have that supporting me also becoming more open to receive and more open to invest and spend. And don't be so intimidated anymore by numbers and things.
I love that. Yes, it's all game. Let's all remind ourselves that it's all a game. We can give generously. We can receive generously. We can receive abundantly. The universe's bank account is always in our favor. There's always an infinite amount available to us. Open up to receive it. Give your passion. Know your value. And there was one more thing. And clean up your mess.
And one prompt. I love all what you said. Totally. One prompt would be, think about maybe doing something different. Just, you know, if you kept doing things for the same way for a long time, just try doing it different. Try embracing that thing, and, you know, like I said, adopt a dog when it comes to you, or wild cat, and experience that it will work out.
Yeah, let it work out and be surprised.
Start with a little thing. Commit to some little thing. Start donating monthly a little amount to the charity of your choice. Although you maybe not necessarily plan the money in or have it or what, just try, experiment. Start doing it for a month, maybe for two, for three. And then you see, wow, I don't miss the money. I don't miss the $10, the $20, whatever. And then you keep going. So your system can experience that it works. There is an infinite amount of abundance surrounding all of us, and it's just about tapping into that.
I love that. I love that. This has been a lot of fun.
Okay, that's that. Maybe there's going to be a part 3 at some point. So now we're going to enjoy our dinner, and thanks for listening.
And also let us know if you love this episode, if you feel moved, if you feel inspired, if you feel like something really resonated with you. We'd love to know. And yeah, connect with us. Let us know what you'd like to hear about, and maybe we'll feature it on one of our upcoming episodes. Until then, enjoy your cacao, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.